The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke 13:24. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Our theme this morning is striving for salvation. And these words that we find in Luke 13:24, spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, are given after a question that is asked of him in verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Now, who this inquirer was, we are not told. Perhaps the person who asked this question was a self-righteous Jew trained to believe that there was no hope for the Gentile and no salvation for anyone except for the children of Abraham. Perhaps it was a troubled Gentile who heard a self-righteous Jew preaching that the Messiah only came for those who were Jews by blood. And perhaps it was a Pharisee asking this question, seeking to shame Jesus' testimony and ministry through academic questions like the Pharisees were so prone to do. As Jesus went about preaching, the Pharisees would come and ask questions, seeking to tie Jesus up or make him look bad among the multitude. We're not told who specifically asked this question or why this individual would ask such a question in the first place, yet we cannot help but be drawn to the question ourselves and desire an answer. Are there few that be saved? All one has to do is look at the world and look at the Word of God to find the answer. One look at the world confirms that most individuals will not spend eternity in heaven. Consider your neighborhood, your place of employment. Consider those in the United States. Is the majority worshiping and serving God with their utmost being, or are they seeking to live for the pleasures of this life? When you compare the ways of others with the Word of God, you cannot help but conclude that few, in light of the majority, will be saved. When you think of the millions in India, in China, Russia, worshiping false gods, adhering to the religion of Islam and the religion of Buddhism or Hinduism, they worship these gods that are no gods at all, you cannot help but conclude that few will be saved. Now, one look also at the Word of God confirms that most individuals will die in their sins and suffer forever in hell. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Jesus says also, Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So the answer to this man's question is disturbing, and it is frightful, and it ought to be. The question has a tone of agitation mixed within it to wake us up and consider the state of our own soul. Knowing the answer to the question that only few will be saved ought to cause us to ask ourselves, if there are only few that be saved, am I among the few or am I among the many? And then it ought to cause us to ask, if there be few saved, is there any hope at all that I can be saved? Notice Jesus' response to the question in verse 24. Jesus says, strive, fight, labor, wrestle, to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, when Jesus is addressed with such a question, are there few that be saved? Jesus doesn't gratify the curiosity of his questioner, but rather he gives an exhortation. He answers his questioner by pressing his soul. Jesus does not assume that the one asking this question is a true Christian. And so what does Jesus do? He evangelizes this man and all who are hearing him. And Jesus exhorts them to seek after salvation fervently and immediately. Jesus is telling his audience in so many words, I am willing to receive sinners, but sinners are not willing to come to me. Hence, there are few that be saved. You see the invitation of Christ. Are there few that be saved? You strive to enter in. And so Jesus is telling, you have an opportunity, but you must strive. You must fight. You must labor to know God if you're to be saved. Now, it's important that from the beginning that I establish in your mind the biblical truth that salvation is entirely of the Lord. It is completely, from beginning to end, the work of God's unmerited favor, the work of God's sovereign grace. Man naturally is spiritually dead, lifeless, blind, ignorant. Man naturally has no fear of God before his eyes. Man naturally will not seek God on his own, and God has to first seek after man. The good shepherd must seek after his lost sheep before his lost sheep will find the good shepherd. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is the author of salvation. And we see this true exemplified through the conversion of Saul of Tarsus that we considered last week. On the way to Damascus, Saul, this Pharisee of the Pharisee, was not seeking after God. Saul thought he knew God. Saul professed the words of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Saul was doing many religious things as a Pharisee. He was not seeking after God because he thought his soul was fine with God. And yet God sought after him, and God conquered his hard heart. God conquered his unbelief, and God changed his ways. Salvation's of the Lord. We also notice this in the conversion of the Philippian jailer. Paul and Silas are preaching in Philippi. They are preaching that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. And those in the city of Philippi do not want to hear this message. They want to go on worshiping their false gods. And so they raise a ruckus, the citizens of Philippi, and they spit out false accusations against the disciples of the Lord. And Paul and Silas are taken and they are cast into the inner prison and they are strapped to the wall. And being tied to the wall in prison, singing at midnight the praises of God, praying, there's a great earthquake. And as God sends that great earthquake, he awakens the soul and the conscience of the Philippian jailer. And we read that this Philippian jailer, by all accounts, was not seeking after God. He went to sleep. Here were two messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have been drawing out answers from them, seeking the way of salvation, but he cares more for his physical well-being. He falls asleep. But in that earthquake, God awakened not only the physical bodies of those in that jail, he awakened the soul of this one man who was not seeking after God. And he then comes trembling, saying, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And this man becomes a Christian. Do you see? God was seeking after this man. This man was not seeking after God. And we see it also true with the penitent thief on the cross. As Jesus is crucified, There's a scoffer on one side and the humble penitent thief on the other. And the penitent thief had done many crimes. He deserved to be crucified. But in God's mighty providence, He allowed this penitent thief to be within feet of the Son of God and to hear the message of salvation one last time for the sake of this soul. God seeking after souls. Jesus says, I must go through Samaria. Why must He go through Samaria? Because there was a Samaritan woman at the well that He was seeking after. So we confess, salvation is entirely of the Lord. But while salvation is entirely of grace, and that God is the chief seeker of the souls of men, it is also true that salvation is not entirely passive. And we know this to be true because the Bible clearly calls on sinners to believe, to repent, and in our text, to strive. Now, man is not saved because of his belief. It is not your belief that saves you. It's the grace of God that saves you. It is actually God giving you the belief to become a Christian, and thus salvation is of the Lord. But you must believe. It is not your repentance and your good actions to turn that saves you. It is not your striving. Yet it is true that man cannot and will not be saved apart from these things. Now, it may seem like an apparent contradiction to us, but we need to see that both truths are in the Bible. God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. Think of prayer. God knows before we ask. We are commanded to pray. It's not really our prayer that changes God. But God says that our prayers have a direct effect on various results. Think of witnessing. God knows those who are His. God knows those who will be His. Yet it is true that God has commanded us to preach and to pray for souls to be awakened. God has commanded us to seek after the lost because through that means sinners are converted. And so it is with salvation. Salvation is of the Lord, yet we are commanded to strive to know Him personally and savingly. Lost sinners must seek the Lord while He may be found. They must labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life. So with that said, consider from Jesus' response in verse 24, the aim of man's striving. Jesus says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And Jesus does not say, strive to find a church and become a member of that church. Strive for some position within that church. Jesus doesn't say, strive to do better in your life. Strive to become more moral. Strive to say more prayers. Strive to be more religious. Jesus says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, what does this mean? What is the straight gate? Well, the gate is the entryway to heaven. When you have a gate, you have a door. And behind that gate, behind that door, there is an area that you step into, and Jesus says, strive to know me because I am the door. The door to what? The door to the celestial city. The door to heaven. The door to eternal life. The door to glory. Jesus is referring for men to seek after Christ so that they might have access to God. Being justified by faith, we can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the high priest through which we have access to God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we are to strive to enter in the narrow door through His death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus says in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, agonize, search them out, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." See, Jesus is saying the same thing in John chapter 5. Strive, search the Scriptures, see if I am not telling you the truth, and the truth will not make you free. Isaiah says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." This is the aim. The aim is Christ. The aim is a person. The aim is the Son of God. The aim is the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, He which was and is and to is and is to come. Jeremiah said, "Ye shall seek Me and find Me when ye shall search for Me with all your heart." Do you see, salvation, Christianity, is a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is not about activities. Christianity is not about an adherence to a church. Christianity is not about living moral in this world, though Christians ought to strive for holiness in this world. Christianity is above all a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Whereas once we were separated from God because of our sins, but through Christ we become reconciled. We become joint heirs with Christ. We become adopted into the kingdom of God and thus children with God through Christ. If you are to be saved, you must personally seek God and find Him. Your parents cannot seek God for you. Your siblings cannot seek God for you. Your pastor cannot seek God for you. You must seek and find the Lord personally. But as many as received Him, to them, to those who personally received Him, to them gave He eternal life. So we see, verse 24, the aim of man's striving. And then we see the purpose of man's striving, verses 25 through 28. Why is Jesus pressing this so strongly? Why is the preacher pressing this so strongly? Well, the answer is found in verse 25 through 28. "When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up unto us.' And He shall answer and say unto you, 'I know you not whence ye are.' Then shall ye begin to say, 'We have eaten and drunk in His presence, and Thou hast taught in our streets.' But He shall say, 'I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from Me, all ye workers of iniquity.' Why should men strive to enter into heaven? Because it's the only way to be safe from the judgment to come." Listen, the door of opportunity for you to be saved will one day be shut. And there are many different ways that this happens. Sometimes the door of opportunity is shut by God giving you over to your own hard heart. And you hear the message, and your heart doesn't soften. You don't give into it. You don't seek the Lord. You hear the persuasive preaching. Others are praying for your souls, and you resist it, and you resist it, and you resist it, and your heart grows hardened. And your heart can grow so hard that the door of opportunity is lost. Or perhaps it's the day of your death. That's the door. The door of opportunity comes when you pass. And you've heard the message, but you have not received it. And the day of your death comes, and it's too late. You will stand before God, and like this illustration, you will knock and saying, "Is there another opportunity? Can I believe now?" When God says, "No." And you will say, "Open up to us." And God will say, "I know you not." Perhaps it's the Lord's return. Christ will return to receive His chosen one. Christ will come to receive His bride, His sheep. And those who are not in Christ, those who are not true believers, will be left here. And I know there's debate. Well, will people have opportunity? What do we have to bother about that? The urgency of Christ's message here is to strive now. Don't play Russian roulette with God and His mercy. Don't forsake the door of mercy while it is open today. Harden not your heart. You see, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, warning the world that there's coming a day of flood. There's coming a day of judgment. And what did they do towards Noah? They mocked him. They said he was a fool. This guy's zealous. He's lost his marbles. Noah doesn't know what he's talking about. He's filled with a devilish spirit, a flood. We've never seen rain as such. This guy is wacko. And God said to Noah and his family, come into the ark. There was only one door to the ark, as there's only one door to heaven. As Noah, finding grace in the eyes of the Lord, goes into the ark, what happens? The door is closed. When the door is closed, the rain begins to fall. The Bible doesn't express the details of what happened after. But I can't help but wonder if people were on the side of the ark. Let us in, Noah, let us in. And Noah said, I warned you. It's too late. All outside the ark died. All inside the ark lived. All who are outside of Christ will die forever in their sins. But all inside Jesus Christ will live forever. Man must strive to be saved from the judgment to come. Now, most do not strive. Most do not take heed to Jesus' words here. Most do not take heed to what I'm saying this morning because they think they are spiritually okay. That is why many ignore the preaching of God's Word. That's why many throw away gospel tracts and they refuse to read their Bibles. They think they are fine. They think everything's okay with their soul. And there may be some who sit here this morning who are thinking to themselves, what the pastor is saying doesn't apply to me. There are those who are sitting here this morning justifying themselves, holding on to a false hope, and they think to themselves, well, I've never abused drugs. I've never murdered anyone. I've never been in a gang. I'm a hard worker. I'm a nice person. I cannot see why I wouldn't be accepted into heaven. Well, such people will not inherit the kingdom of God because they see themselves as righteous. They see no need for the Savior. They think their goodness is sufficient to bring them to heaven, but in the end they will be lost. Why? Because Jesus came not for the righteous, He came for the ungodly. Jesus came for the unrighteous. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, spiritual criminals, spiritual rebels. And most men do not strive to know the Lord because they think they're fine. The greatest hindrance to man's striving is presumption. Presumption, assuming that they can see God later. Let me tell you this morning, hell is full of those who presumed. Hell is full with those who said, I will get right with God tomorrow. Hell is filled with those who said, I will seek the Lord when I'm done having fun with my friends. I will seek the Lord when I get older. I'll start thinking about spiritual things when I become a parent or a grandparent. I will seek the Lord on my deathbed, and I will repent and believe then. But such times never come. I'm here to tell you by the authority of God's Word, if you die in your sins and go to hell, it will only be your fault. It will not be the fault of preachers, because preachers are preaching and pleading and persuading. It will not be the fault of other Christians, your parents who are Christians may be praying for you, your siblings, your co-workers, your neighbors are concerned for your souls. They want you to seek after God. They've warned you. It will be your own fault. And if you die in your sins, the one question that will haunt you forever is, why didn't I seek after God when He gave me opportunity? I think that'll be the worst thing about hell. especially for those who've heard. Not so much the flames, but I think the hunting will be, God was so merciful and gracious. I heard not only once, but many times He gave me opportunity to hear the Word of God. Others prayed for my soul, and yet I willfully rejected it. How could I have been so foolish? Forever and forever and forever and forever. Never ending hauntings. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. Jesus says that men ought to strive to know God because there's coming a day that all opportunity to get right with God will be gone. Do you ever think that this day could be tomorrow? This day could come this week. Let me draw to a conclusion by having you consider three individuals who sought the Lord and found Him. Three individuals who strove to find Christ, and Christ was faithful to save them, faithful to heal them. And I want to end with a positive encouragement for those who are concerned for their soul. For those here this morning who may be asking, how do I know if I strive, if I truly do what Jesus says, that I will find Him? Let me assure those wrestling with doubts that the promises of God are yea and amen. God is not a man that He should lie. Jesus Christ said, those who come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. And our first example of one who sought after healing from Jesus and found it is blind Bartimaeus. Do you remember blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52? The Bible says, as Jesus went out of Jericho with His disciples, a great number of people were out. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. The modern day translation is, many said to blind Bartimaeus, shut your mouth. Be quiet. Stop crying out. You're a blind beggar. Jesus is not going to give you the time. And the scripture says, but he, blind Bartimaeus, cried out the more. You see what that is? He's striving. He's agonizing. He cried out the more a great deal, saying, Son of David, have mercy upon me. I don't care what others think. I don't care what others do, but have mercy upon me. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Blind Bartimaeus, have mercy upon me. Be quiet, blind Bartimaeus. Have mercy upon me. Striving. And Jesus blessed his striving. Listen, if Jesus can give physical sight to blind Bartimaeus, He can give spiritual sight to you. And listen, many will try to discourage you, just like we see here. Be quiet. Stop seeking after God. Stop reading the Bible. That's a book of fables that was written by man. It has contradictions. Don't seek after God. The church is brainwashed. And others will be like those towards blind Bartimaeus. You're a fanatic. The preacher's fanatic. And it's all false. And you keep striving. And you strive till you find Him. That's the first positive example of blind Bartimaeus. He strove and he found. And then consider Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years this woman was suffering. The Bible says that she suffered many things of many physicians. She went to doctor after doctor after doctor with this particular health problem that she had. And she grew nothing better, but only grew worse. And she spent all that she had. 12 years. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. So there was a great multitude surrounding Jesus, and this woman with the issue of blood did everything she could to strive to get to Jesus. She believed in her heart that Jesus had the power to help her. And as she touched just the hem of His garment, she was healed. Do you see? She put forth effort. She sought the Lord, and she was helped. And Jesus said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Do you see the faithfulness of God to heal those who seek Him? Let me give you one more. John chapter 3, Nicodemus. Here's a religious lost man, a teacher of the Old Testament, a very respectable man, surely a very moral man. A man who knew a lot about God, who knew the Scriptures, but the same came to Jesus by night. Why did he come to Jesus by night? Because he had questions. He wasn't satisfied with his religion. He knew there was something empty within his soul. And as Nicodemus began to hear Jesus explain the new birth, how you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God, we have a record in the Scriptures. At the moment of Jesus' burial, John chapter 19, that Nicodemus was with Joseph of Arimathea preparing Jesus' body for proper Jewish burial. So we can safely assume that in Nicodemus' seeking, though we don't have account of his seeking fully, we can assume that he found the Lord. He came to realize that his pharisaical ways were false, and that he needed a Savior. It wasn't in vain, Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. It wasn't in vain hearing Jesus expound the truth of God's Word over the tradition of the Pharisees. And these examples, these three examples, blind Bartimaeus, the woman with the issue of blood, and Nicodemus, confirm what we read in Hebrews 11:6, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Those who strive to enter into the narrow gate. And still I've met those who've grown up in church, those who are pastors' children, who have said, well, I tried, it didn't work. I did what you're saying to do, and nothing. I tried to strive. I'm still lost. My questions to such people are, did you seek Him with a humble heart? Did you come broken over your sin before Him? Did you seek Him for the right reason? Did you seek Him with pure motives? Or were you only wanting Him to help you with some problem? Did you seek Him through His Word? Did you seek Him still holding on to your sin, refusing to repent? You wanted Jesus and the world, Jesus and your sin? Did you exercise faith, and faith only in Him? Not faith and works, but faith. Were you holding on to some self-righteousness? Did you come still questioning and doubting? You wanted to be saved, but still you were holding on to doubts and questions. And several people have told me over time, well, I tried. I tried for one day. I tried for a season. Nothing happened. And then I have to reply, who are you to set the terms? Who are you to set the time? Who are you to say one day is sufficient, 2 days sufficient, 1 month sufficient, or 1 year sufficient? God said He will save. And the problem is not with Him, it's with you. And my friend, why give up seeking God? The fact that you have a desire to seek God is an indication that He is already seeking you. Let that be a comfort to your heart. The fact that you're concerned about these things is a fact that God's already working. You wouldn't be concerned if God was already seeking and pressing you with these things. Perhaps in your seeking, God is delaying in answering to save you, to test your motives. In Jesus' day, there were those who sought after God only after curiosity. There were those who sought after God because they were entertained by this magic show of Jesus' miracles. There were those who sought after God because they were given free food. Perhaps Jesus is delaying because He's testing your heart. He wants you to seek Him only for Him. There are some who seek after God only to find a job, only to have money in the bank. They use Jesus as some magic genie. There are those who seek after God only to find a spouse, as if He's the datematcher.com. There are those who seek God only to find better health. Well, if I give my heart to God, surely I'll be healed. There are those who seek after God only to find a community of friends, and all these are wrong reasons to seek after God. We ought to want God for God, because He's worthy, because He's good, because He's merciful, because He's the Savior. Do you remember the rich young ruler coming to the Lord? The rich young ruler started off well, didn't he? He asked a question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's a great question. And obviously he sought. He was seeking. And Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." Not that the commandments were a means for his salvation, but he wanted to confront this man with his sin and with his inability to work his way to heaven. And in his seeking the Lord said many strong things, and the Lord took the dagger of truth and pierced it in his heart. And he said to this man, after this man boasted himself of keeping the commandments, he said, "Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me." And this man left sorrowful. He was offended at Jesus' words. This man loved his money more than his own soul. And some begin to seek the Lord, and then the preacher starts preaching about sin, and they get offended. Whoa. The preacher starts preaching about repentance and holiness, and they stop. God wants to know that you are seeking Him for Him. So I leave you with one word. That word is strive. Be like Jacob. Wrestle with God. Say to Him, "I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not finish seeking you until I'm saved." Test Him. Find Him to be true. I conclude with the words of David, preached to his son Solomon from 1 Chronicles 28:9, which include a promise and a warning to all. The promise is, if thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. It's a promise. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. So the choice is yours. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Strive to enter in the narrow gate.